read that little bit again right here at the end. Jesus said, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them life abundantly." May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Well, now, since today is Mother's Day, I'm going to take a minute to tell you one of the many stories of my own mother, who went home in July of 2008. Now, my mom came out of a very difficult and hard childhood. Her father left her and her mother when she was only 3 years old. Then her mother remarried a man who turned out to be abusive not only to my grandmother, but to my mother as well. Finally, when my mother was 9 years old, her mother was killed in a fire. And all of the great aunts, there were many of them, went out to the house where they had been pretty isolated from the whole family and took my mother back to the city of Houston at that time. There actually was some distance between Houston and other areas at that time. And they took her back to the city, and the decision was made that the person who became my grandmother but was really my great aunt was the only one who didn't have children, and so she adopted my mother. And we called her Ninai all of our lives because she always told us she was too young and too pretty to be called grandmother by anyone. My mom then grew up in a pretty rugged household even after that. You know how families are. But she made it her life's desire to have a big family when she grew up and got married because she was an only child. Well, she got that wish. She and my father produced 4 children, and we were a pretty wild lot ourselves, but she was fiercely protective of us. So this story takes place in one of the summers when I was growing up. I think I was about 8 years old. And my mother was one of the few moms who worked outside the home at that time. Most of my friends' moms were stay-at-home moms, doing what stay-at-home moms did, but my mother worked at an insurance company. And every day, she and a friend rode to work together, and so my mom would go and pick up the friend who lived in the opposite direction of our house. He would pick her up, and then they would go back and go to work. So on this particular morning, my mother had just gotten me ready, and she said, "Okay, I'm going to work. You get on your bicycle, and you ride over to the neighborhood swimming pool where I was going to take swimming lessons." My mother was terrified of the water and remained that way to her last day. And so it was also one of her goals that all 4 of us would take swimming lessons. So I got on my bike and I was riding over to the swimming pool. Well, it just happens that when I got to this very busy intersection, if you know anything about Houston, maybe you've been at the intersection of Wesleyan and University Boulevard. In those days, it was still a 4-way stop. And so I was coming from the direction of our house, and my mother was coming from the direction of having picked up her friend. Anybody remember bicycles back then? There were no gears, so you just stood on the pedal and gave it all you got and hoped you would get moving. So I was sitting there at the intersection waiting my turn to cross the street, and I saw my mother across the street, and I waved at her, and she waved at me, and I put my foot on that pedal to get going. Well, a man from this side started inching out in the street, and I saw him coming, so I stopped. And I waited for him to go, but he didn't go. So I thought, well, I guess I'm going to try again. And so I tried again. And as soon as I put my foot on that pedal to get going, he inched out some more. And I thought, wow, well, I'll try it again, I think. And so as soon as I tried it again, the third time, he inched out even more. Well, about that time, my mother slammed her car into park. And she got out of her car and she stood in the middle of that intersection. And my mother yelled. She was not a yeller. And she looked at that man. She said, "Mister, if you move that car one more inch, I'm calling the police." And then she said, "Come on, Colleen, come on across. It's all right." Just went from one extreme to the other that quickly. But she was determined that that man was not going to be doing that to her little girl anymore. You see, that day, what she did was bring me across a street that looked really hard to cross. She gave me a second chance to go ahead and finish what I had started, even though I was afraid. She stood in the gap for me against the enemy, who was probably a guy just trying to get to work like everyone else. Our passage today talks about a shepherd who stands in the gap for us, who gives us second chances, and whose voice calls to us even when we're afraid. Today in the church, we call this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday. Whether you need it or not, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we talk about the Good Shepherd. Today, the passage happens to come from John 10, 1 through 10. Next year, it'll come from John 10, 11 through about 18 or so. 3 years in a row, we just keep rotating that. That's free information for those of you who aren't used to the lectionary. But we know this passage, don't we? It's very familiar to us. I mean, you don't have to know much about Scripture to know the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd, am I right? We love this passage. It is very, very familiar and very comforting. But as with all things that are familiar, there is the danger that we can take it for granted and almost coast over it because we know it so well. So the other day as I read it, and every time I prepare for a sermon, I read the scripture out loud and I read it in several different translations. And as I read through it the other day, I said, whoa, there's a new verse in here. Somebody came and stuck a new verse in my Bible when I wasn't even looking. Verses 1 through 5 say this: "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. After he's gathered his own sheep, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger." So far, so good. And then I got to verse 6, and it said this: "Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them." I went, what? What do you mean they didn't understand what he meant? I'd never seen that before. And then I love that next part: "And so he explained it to them." You see, Jesus was a good teacher. And he knew that sometimes you had to explain things again in a different way. And so he said, "I am the gate. The ones who came before me were thieves and robbers. Those who come through me will be saved. They will find good pasture. Thieves kill and destroy, but I came to give life abundantly." You see, Jesus gave those who were gathered, including a few Pharisees in the crowd, by the way, he gave them a second explanation, and it continues from verse 11 on, as to what he really meant by those first five verses. He gives them a different way to process what it is he's trying to teach. He gave them a little sound bite to hold on to. I came that my followers might have abundant lives even when things look dangerous. Now, this passage is all about Jesus. It has really very little to do with us. It tells us who Jesus is, and it challenges us to ask that very question: who is Jesus? Familiarity with this text is accompanied by the danger that we can start taking for granted who we believe Jesus is. It can cause us to be lulled into thinking that when we're with Jesus, all is peace and calm and quiet. Any shepherd can tell you that working with sheep is anything but calm and peace and quiet. Have any of you in here ever worked sheep before? I have, on more than one occasion. It is anything but calm and peace and quiet. Sheep are skittish. They are terrified of just about everything, and they will run at the first sign of anything that looks just a little out of place. Shepherds are not comfort keepers. They're always on the lookout for predators. They're always looking for new and fresh sources of food for their sheep by moving them from pasture to make sure that there's enough for them to eat. They're always counting the sheep to make sure that none have run away. And they're always ready to fight against any who might threaten to hurt the flock. So this means that sheep have to learn to trust the shepherd. It is not easy being a shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, fights for us. He looks for us when we're lost. He moves us from place to place, always taking us to the next place and the next place for more fertile pastures. He calls us with a voice that has the power to cut through all of those other voices that compete for our loyalty. And he gives us second chances, even when we run away. It is not easy being a shepherd. Just ask one. Now, here's another question. How many of you have ever been on a hunting trip where several different people brought their hunting dogs with them? Anybody in here ever been on that kind of trip? Right. So when it's time to go and you call the dogs, do the dogs go with somebody else, or do they go with their master because they hear his or her voice? But here's another question for you. How many of you have ever picked up a child from daycare or school? Anybody like that? How often when you go to pick up your child from daycare or school, do they go with somebody else's parent because that person's voice cut in? Or do they listen to the voice of the loved one who came to get them? We hear the voice of the one who loves us and who guides us and who walks with us. Maybe in the beginning we hear the voice of the good shepherd, but then maybe after a little bit of time, we're lulled by that familiarity of his voice and we start to think that we know what he's going to say before he even says it. Some of us even ignore the voice of the one who knows us and loves us because we would rather listen to other voices, including our own. Jesus continues to call us over the noise of life, over the attempts of others to lure us into apathy or anxiety or doubt or even downright rebellion. But Jesus knows sheep. He never stops calling us. He never abandons his post as the one who allows us to go in and out of the pen. He never gives up on us, even when we start to give up on ourselves. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows that being a shepherd is hard work. Although we want to lie down in that really beautiful meadow where it's all peaceful and calm and everybody's so quiet, the good shepherd is always moving us to the next place and the next place and the place after that. We can get kind of lulled into believing this is a quiet picture of Christianity. But in fact, this passage has a warning for us. It invites us to look beyond the tranquil scene we have painted it to be, and instead to look at the dangers all around us. It invites us to recognize that sometimes things can present themselves as being religiously plausible, but the one whose voice we hear might not be the voice of the Good Shepherd. We're called to listen and to examine again and again and again the teachings of Christ, to take a second look at what seems to be familiar to us and to see if somehow along the way we've given it new meaning. How do we as Christians adhere to Christian orthodoxy and still witness to the world? How do we recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd when so many others are trying to keep us right where we are, even as we are attempting to move forward? And how do we embrace second chances without changing the original message of the gospel? You see, the message of Christ has never changed. The message of the gospel is the same. It always points us toward Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The message is not about us. It is about what Christ has done for us. The message of the gospel is exactly today what it has always been. Christ came to give his life for us. He came that we might have abundant life. Life that sometimes takes us to new pastures and gives us hope even when we're hopeless. It tells us that Christ calls us in his unmistakable voice to follow him. Now that day, as I tried over and over and over again to cross that street, my mom's voice cut through the noise of the traffic. It cut through the noise of my own fear. And her voice called me to trust her more than I trust the fear that was boiling inside of me. Her voice gave me a second chance to win the victory and not to turn around and go back home where it seemed a lot safer than the middle of that busy street. And by the way, I did learn to swim, and so did all of my siblings. I think she was deep down inside afraid that one of these days one of us might need saving and water and she wouldn't be able to do it. So she made sure that we all learned to swim. Jesus calls us to listen to his voice and to accept those second chances of hearing it again and again and again so that we can live life abundantly. You see, it turns out that the image of the Good Shepherd is not an image intended to comfort us. It is an image intended to inspire our faith in difficult times and to remind us of the voice of the one who calls us. Here's something that if you've ever worked with sheep, you probably know. Shepherds rarely coddle their sheep, but they always push them to move forward to more fertile ground, even when the journey is hard. And so may we tune our ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And may we grow in trust as we follow him from pasture to pasture, never wavering in our determination to stay close to him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.